Tony prayed for the persecuted Christians, and so they decided that they wanted to have shock factor. So they said, Steve is preaching May 31st, let's get him to wear an orange jumpsuit. I think they did not know if I had any orange or not. I got witnesses that I do have orange. I did not need to wear this suit. I want to give credit. This C4 class, Jesse French came to the staff and said, we would love to do this. Operation Orange. If you did not get a ribbon when you came in, we would love for you to get one. And not just get a ribbon to wear a ribbon, but to pray. Because there are 320 people every month that are being executed, Christians that are being executed for their faith. And we need to pray for those folks in a huge way. We're blessed. We came this morning and we had no fear of being stopped or being persecuted for our beliefs. And if I don't take this suit off real soon, I'm going to pass out. I'm so hot. Please make sure you get a ribbon. This morning, we're going to try to get out of this if we can. We weren't sure if... You know what? Jesse and Marilyn said, you know what? Steve, that thing is so big it's going to fall off you. Yeah. Evidently, Jesse and Marilyn don't know how big I am. Hey, this morning we're going to talk about death to selfie. Yeah, that's a little bit cutesier title than I am used to, but I felt like it fit what we were trying to do this morning, so we're going to try it. You know, my students... And my children laugh at me because I'm the worst selfie taker in the world. You know what? I brought some illustrations of that for you. 3 years ago, I began my selfie career, and this was my very first selfie. Yeah, Kim is in there somewhere. And me, we were in Florida. And that was my very, very, very first attempt at a selfie. Well, then I started getting a little bit better. Wait a minute, Kim, doesn't she look beautiful? But look at that crazy-looking face trying to concentrate on that selfie. Still not very good. Here we go. Let's see what else we got. Tuesday night with our students. We're doing Reach, sharing the gospel. We had to have we were at a basketball game that night, I believe. Next one. Now, that's one of my pride selfies right there. We were on our way to line up our trip for our seniors to Jamaica. I like that one. Okay, the next one. This one, if you cannot see their face, if you could zoom in on their faces, they are laughing so hard at me taking that selfie. And we were in Savannah last summer on a mission trip. Now, this is one of my favorites. A couple years ago, we were in West Virginia skiing, and on that ski trip, the power went out. And while that power was out, the bus came, and they wanted to go get something to eat. And so the crew said, well, we can't ski. We're going to go get something to eat. And as they drove out of the parking lot, the power came back on, and I stayed just to monitor the situation. And so I skied right up to the top of the thing. I took a selfie, and I sent it to all the kids, and some of them had genuine hatred toward me at that point. And let's see, the last one. Some of our college students, Ashley and I, had the opportunity to go and eat with them. I think my game's stepping up a little bit, isn't it? It's not too bad. This morning, we're going to be looking at John chapter 13. If you would, just turn with me to John chapter 13. And I want to kind of give you my big idea this morning. Too much online connectedness can rob us of what God wants most from us. You know, we can get so caught up in Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that we miss what God wants most from us. And we're connected more today than we have been ever in our entire life. And so I wanted us to look at John chapter 13, You know, this is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. Dr. Page always says, this is definitely one of my favorites, John 13 through 17. Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. And it's a time, all of us, when we come to the end of our lives, that we probably say some of the most important things, and that's what Jesus did. He was saying some of the most important things in all of Scripture. He models for us the Lord's Supper. He washes the disciples' feet, showing us how important service is. And then he says, John chapter 13, beginning with verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's pray. Father, I pray, thank you for having fun. But Lord, I thank you for your word and these important words that you left with us. And I pray, Father, that we this morning would just take seriously exactly what you're saying. We take it to heart, and Father, we be challenged by what you say in your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, by your love, they will know you are my disciples. You know, at First Baptist, one of our core values is people matter to God, so therefore they matter to us. A core value that we are to love each other. I want you to know love like that. I want you to be able to experience love like that. You know, technology is kind of changing things. You know, years ago, we would have multiple friends, personal, close, personal friends that we talked to, that we did stuff with. And now we have, the average American has 300 friends on Facebook. But really only two close friends. And that's down. Two decades ago, it was six close friends, and now it's down to two. What will it be in another two decades? I think technology is awesome, and it's important in student ministry. But I think it's changing relationships. And I want to give you a couple reasons why, what I think it's doing. I think it's changed the word friend. What about you? How many friends do you have? Close friends that you could call at a moment's notice, that would be there for you in the midst of crisis. I thought back through my family and our time here at Simpsonville and all the wonderful people that God has blessed us with, Kim and I. And through the life of our time here at Simpsonville, times when things were tough, when Kim had cancer, times where family situations that my corner of Wagon Creek looked like a used car lot because so many of you came, loved, and prayed for us. But it's changing. Technology is changing that. We're becoming, I'll say my second thing is that we're becoming addicted to affirmation. Like we're having a bad day, and so I'm having a bad day, and so I decide, you know what? I'm going to take a selfie and I'm going to put it online and see how many likes I get. You know what? I think I'll take a selfie right now. You want to get in on this? Come on, everybody. Give me your squeeze together. All right. Give me your best duck face. Right? You ready? All right. Okay, I got you. I'm going to put that online. No, I'll do that later. We're looking for that instant affirmation that how many people now are going to check like button and like what I've put on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. We're living for likes because we're longing for love. We're longing for that true, close relationship with other people and with God. How many of you can relate to this statement? Don't raise your hand, but I just want you to think about how many of you can relate to this statement? I am more connected than ever, but I feel more alone than ever. How do we move from surface relationships into really, truly being connected with somebody else? We need this. We desperately need this in this selfie-centered world that we live in. We need it. So I think it's simple. I think it's so simple that you're going to look at me and you're going to say, Steve, that, I don't know if that was worth coming and listening to. This is what I want you to do. Look to that person next to you and tell them it's simple. No, say it louder than that. It's simple. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Now we're ready. Tony, they're with me. Okay. I'm just make sure it's simple. Do these things, and I promise you, you'll have better relationships. You will be better connected with other people. First thing, be accessible. That sounds easy, but I think it may be one of the hardest things to do. You know, we let people into our lives, and what do? They hurt us. And then we begin to put up this wall, and we pull back from being accessible to other people. And it happens over and over and over again. That wall gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I want to ask you, are you willing to try again? Are you willing to try to love people, to open up your lives, to love people face to face instead of thumb to thumb? What do I mean by that? We get so caught up in communicating with this device. I want you to take a communication test after I give you this scripture. From Romans 12, 9 and 10, it says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight and honor in each other. Here's my communication test to you. Something happens in someone's life that you really care about, and what is your first inclination? Pick up the phone and text them? Pick up the phone and call them, or get in your car and go see them. I know. I'm convicted just like you are as I started putting this together. And modern technology is awesome, and it's great. And we begin to use it to the point that we're not as connected and loving people, I think, the way that God wants us to. A quick text is great, but don't text them, I'm thinking about you. Text them, I'm praying for you. Pet peeve of Steve. The world's thinking about a lot of things. Shouldn't we as Christians be praying for each other? I guess one of the hugest blessings of having the opportunity to be the student minister is like Wednesday night. I just use Wednesday night as an example. We have kids everywhere, the band's getting ready to play. Our interns have started, they're leading and teaching. And a student walks up to me and has had an awful day. And I could tell instantly by her tone of voice. And so I asked her about it. She began to tell me, and I listened. And then I had the opportunity right there with all the chaos going on around us to pray with her. And then when primetime was over with, everybody shooting basketball, playing ping pong, yelling, running, throwing the football, and one of my parents come up to me. Serious situation going on in the family. Had a chance to talk to him. It would have been easy in the midst of all that chaos to say what? I'll pray for you. No, we stop right there with balls whizzing over our head, and we prayed right there. That's what God's calling us to do, to be accessible to other people, and when they're hurting, to love them well by praying for them. Guys, again, another core value of First Baptist Simpsonville, prayer. One of the reasons why God has chosen to bless this place is because this is a praying church. So text message is okay. I mean, we use it. Sometimes we say, because we're so busy, I'm just going to shoot them a quick text. But you know what? On this phone, there's a green button. If you hit it, you can actually call them. And you know what? There's even another button. If you hit it, I can look at you and you can look at me. That's awesome. But you know what? There is no exception for getting in your car and going and sitting in their home. But you, Steve, that's a huge tragedy. I wouldn't know what to say. They don't need you to say anything. They need you just to be there, to be present, to be accessible to them. That's one of the first things they teach you in seminary. We don't have all the answers, but we do know the one that does have all the answers. Just be there with them. The Holy Spirit's going to, if there's something that needs to be said, so many times we try to force fit that, and we try to say something, and we say the wrong thing. If we wait and we let the Holy Spirit, we'll say exactly the right thing at the right time. Just be in their presence. That's what's important. And you know what? Guys, D Now this year, huge example to me. D Now volunteers, leaders, 300 volunteers. Ashley and I put so much time. Her whiteboards are filled up with names and homes, and it's a massive undertaking for our church. And we do that because discipleship is so important, and to lead those students to the opportunity to come face to face with a living God. And we come to, if you've never had the opportunity to come on that last day, come to that last service, D Now weekend. This altar is filled with students, with college students praying with students, with parents praying with their children. It's just a beautiful picture. And every year, the Holy Spirit overwhelms me. And I was standing right there. I was so emotional. I finally, to the point where I couldn't even stand anymore. I was sitting there, and I was praying. I was thanking God for what He had done throughout the weekend and how blessed we are as a church to be able to pull something as massive as D Now off, and how He had changed lives throughout the weekend. And as I was praying there, I felt this little tap on my shoulder. And I looked up, a wreck, tears running down my face. And there was a ninth grade girl standing there. And she looked at me and she said, "You know, Steve, I haven't been as faithful as I should have been to this student ministry. But that's going to change." And she said, "I want to pray for you." And she said the most beautiful prayer that I have ever experienced right there. I'm not asking, I'm not begging you to pray for me, but I am saying, you know, every once in a while, grab one of these ministers, put your arm around them, and just pray for them. Donna loves to do that. I would love for you just to bless one of our ministers like so many of us have been blessed through the years by just praying for them. Romans 12:13 says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Boy, I'm going to start meddling now. I got convicted, so why not let me lay it on you guys? Here we go. Invite people into your home. Didn't we used to do that back in the day? Didn't we used to always have people? Now it's our fortress. Now we won't let anybody in. When was the last time you had somebody in your home that wasn't family? Just invited them in your home, just for no particular reason, just for to have some ice cream. Just hang out, to goof off, play games. When was the last time? I know we're busy. Here's my challenge to you. Pick somebody. Pick somebody over the next couple weeks. Have them into your home. You really want to be connected? You really want to love like Jesus wanted you to love? Do that. Do life together. So be accessible. It's first thing. Number two, it's simple. Remember, it's simple. When you're with people, be with people. What do I mean? How many times have you walked into a restaurant and looked and you saw four people, all four of them? Just that little bit of time was awkward, wasn't it? Can you imagine four people sitting around the table and not one word being spoken? It happens every day. Just look. When you're in a restaurant, just look around and you'll see it. Wow. And I'm horrible. I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I'm attached to this phone. My whole schedule, my whole calendar, everything, my email, my whole family. You want to see a picture of Chelsea? Oh, there's Chelsea. Oh. Everything is right there. But there comes a point that we need to just put it down. So many times we're physically present but emotionally absent. So how crazy would this be if I asked you, I said, let's hang out. And so this, how crazy this is going to be, I'm going to use Starbucks as an example. I'm not a Starbucks. I don't drink coffee. But let's say we go to Starbucks, we're sitting there and we're talking, and you're telling me what's going on in your life. I ask you, what's going on in your family? And you begin to tell me. And while you're doing that, I reach down in my bag and I start shuffling around and I pull a book out and I start reading a book. And you stop and you look at me and I say, I look up and I said, go ahead. And so you continue to tell, and while you're telling, I put the book back in my bag and I get up and I walk around. I say, hey, what's happening, Tony? And then I come back and you're quiet. And I said, why are you being quiet? And he said, because you're not listening. And that's how it is when we're sitting there and we're on our phone. We're not paying attention to that other person. I know how horrible I am at this. Because so many times when I'm listening, I'm thinking about what am I going to say next. Don't we all get caught up in that? No one at the end of their life thinks, I wish I would have posted more pictures. I wish that I would have gotten more likes. I wish that I had more friends on Instagram. No. At the end of their life, everyone starts thinking about people, relationships. So why don't we start doing something about it now? Why don't we, as Christians begin to set the example. Maybe it's time for some rules. No phones at the table. You know, guys, I understand too. Let me say this. When you're with people and that phone rings, you have every right to glance at it if your spouse and your children are not with you. The only people that should interrupt a conversation with another person is that spouse or those children if there's an emergency. But you can handle that quickly. Hey, I'm with someone. Are you okay? Good. I'll call you back. How long did that take? And you're right back engaged with that person that you're talking to and trying to love. It'll be about, at the end of that our life, it'll be how much we loved. So the world will know the difference in us by our love for others. You know, our church is continuing to do well, and it's doing well because of you guys loving one another. But what if we even went to the next level? The world needs what we have. The world needs love. And I'm not anti-technology, obviously, in student ministry. I'm not. I wish I would have brought you a picture of the ad that I sent out to our students this week. We try to leverage technology for good. But we need to love and follow Jesus fully so others are drawn to him. Our vision statement is where I end this morning. I'm going to use this. I'm going to use technology the best way I can to point people to the one that loves them the most and can help us love others. No apologies. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you give us modern technology. But Father, I thank you that you are the one that can love us and that can help us to love others in the way that we should. I pray, Father, for my friends, maybe if they have been convicted, Lord, that they would make changes in their own life, that they would begin to tear down walls and to begin to put self aside, place you first, and to love like they should. And Father, if there's someone who does not have a relationship with you, that's where they've got to start. You love them and you want to make a difference in their lives. So I pray, Father, that they open their hearts and their lives to you. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now's the time, if you would, stand and respond as God leads you.